Well, hi, everybody. This is our noontime show on October 3rd. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. We appreciate you listening live or on the archives. We archive everything over at the website, which is education-talkradio.org, talk radio being one word, education-talkradio.org. We tweet a direct link over at EduTalk Radio. And we have a new Facebook page over at EduTalk Radio. The old one still works, but the new one's working too. Facebook.com/EduTalk Radio. We have a good show today. I got to thank my friends at EdCircuit, Ross in particular, for helping me put this together. Okay, check that out. It's great information on education, EdCircuit.com. And we're going to talk about promoting project-based learning, but in environmental education today. And we're going to be doing that with EchoRise, EchoRise.org. They've been on before, but Rich Kincaid, he's a first-time guest, so he's going to have to go undergo this grueling interview with myself, Larry Jacobs. And we'll see if he survives the ordeal as Gina did a few months ago. Okay, they're really good stuff, and I love environmental education, so you know it's so important to get it all done. And we can talk about all the ramifications of it as we go through the show. So without further ado, let me bring on, you're going to love this, the man who tweets at RK the Echo Nerd, the one and only Richard Kincaid from Echo Rise, echorise.org. Hi, Rich. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Larry. How you doing today?
I'm just fine. You down in Austin?
I am. Beautiful and rainy Austin, Texas today.
It's rainy today. Wow. I didn't know that. I thought it never rains in Austin. Good place, I got to tell you. Good city, right? You're the chief innovation officer over at Echo Rise. I want you to do two things. Tell us just generically about Echo Rise, and then tell us what you do as chief innovation officer in this age of climate change and the need for environmental education, I might add.
Absolutely. So Echo Rise is an Austin-based sustainability education nonprofit. And we began offering services to schools about 10 years ago. This year, we're working with about 1,600 teachers globally, and we'll provide educational tools for close to 40,000 students to help them make a difference in their local community. Yeah. So at the heart of our work is a very clear mission. We inspire a new generation of leaders to design a sustainable future for all. As part of that, we believe that education is the key to actualizing that mission. And so we've built EchoRise from the ground up as an organization by educators and for educators with a very distinct mission of impacting local communities. And hopefully we'll be able to dive into, you know, kind of a little bit more of what all of that means over the course of this grueling interview today.
It will be grueling. Oh, we have a handkerchief.
That's right. That's right. You know, Gina is a professional, so we'll see how I can hold up.
You won't do as well as Gina did, I can tell you that right now. I can hear it already. I'm sorry, Rich. It's just that RK the Echo Nerd. I love that RK the Echo Nerd, Rich Kincaid. That's where he tweets. Okay. I did laugh when I saw that today. Okay. It did make me giggle. And I wanted to just talk about a couple of things here. First of all, Echo Rise has, if you go over to EchoRise.org, this is an ad. We're going to talk about the curriculum, but EchoRise.org has a Echo Rise curriculum. All right. And that's key. And I want you to talk, Rich, if you can, just about for what grades this is for. And people can go over to EchoRise.org and see it just like I did. But just tell them what grades it's for and all that.
Yeah, so it's for grades kindergarten through 12th grade. We cover the entire spectrum.
Nice.
Of education. And all of our curriculum is available in English and Spanish with cultural adaptations.
Oh.
And to make things even better, all of our curriculum is also aligned to state and national education standards. Because really that's the key for administrators and teachers alike. How is this work going to tie directly into the things that are tested within my classroom, in my district, in my state? And so in Texas, we've aligned to the Texas TEKS. So Texas teachers, particularly in science, have the opportunity to tie that directly to the curriculum they're using right now. Nationally, we've tied that to the NGSS, the Next Generation Science Standards. And in places like Washington, D.C. and Massachusetts and other states, that have made very specific modifications to the NGSS standards, we've also taken some of those things into account as well. And so our goal is to create the most robust, holistic, politically agnostic, and standards-driven curriculum that we possibly can. And in over 10 years, we've had that curriculum in place, and we've really noticed a lot of great impact in local communities. So it's something we're really proud of.
Good man. Good man. And I love the politically neutral, which is so hard to do these days. Congratulations. I don't know how the hell ecology and environmental education even got slightly politicized, but that's besides the point. That's my thing, not yours. So I'm glad to hear it's politically new. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I never heard of anybody. I don't know why people argue with science. You know, it's just ridiculous. I just don't understand it. But we'll go
exactly
on with that.
Right.
Hopefully. Yeah. And you know, children have to learn that science is one thing and opinion is something else. The other word you have, your two things I want to talk about. Here I go again. I coughed during the last show and I just coughed again. I don't understand this. Okay. Pardon me, everybody, for doing that. Couldn't catch that one. All right. I have to ask you about the word. You want to promote education and environmentally, but also sustainability. What do you mean by that? Talk to people about sustainability education.
So the key really within sustainability that EcoRise kind of takes is we want communities to be able to thrive. We want students to be able to learn about ways that they can dispose of waste in their communities in responsible ways, as an example. And so what I mean by that is, you know, teaching things like recycling and composting and really making a determination of what needs to go to a landfill and what doesn't. Because ultimately, the key for us is we want communities to be able to survive and thrive for decades and centuries to come. We also take a bit of an economic approach to that as well. And so what's going to be economically viable or sustainable over time for communities in America or really globally? And so when we start looking at some of the projects that we do perhaps at the high school level, it really takes that economic approach. You know, how do we make something that is going to allow for-profit corporations to not only continue making a profit, but in doing so, thinking about the people and the planet along the way? So how do you make the things that we do sustainable over time? And that's really kind of the key that we focus on through all of the curriculum that we provide.
And let me ask you this while we're on this subject. Do the children, the students, understand this? Do they get it? And the second question is, do they like learning about it?
And it's been our experience that students really are our country's greatest untapped resources. When given the opportunity to think about issues that impact them locally, and when they're asked questions such as, how might you solve this particular problem, students rise to the occasion. And so the things that they're learning in their classroom in their regular science classes or English or math is great stuff to know. It's important for them to know those things. But what we believe is students should have the opportunity to extend that learning into other places. And so for EcoRise, we believe that having the opportunity to take all of that theoretical stuff that they're learning and apply it to a local challenge is the best way for students to solidify the things that they're learning. It's been our experience that when students are able to do those things, when they're taught to ask the right questions, when they're taught how to analyze the data, and then they're simply asked, what would you do to fix this? They rise to the occasion. We've had really great experience with that, and we survey our students at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year, and over the course of 10 years, had some pretty positive results.
Like what? Talk about some of the projects that have been successful.
Yeah, we've had a few. So several that come to mind right off. At Hill Elementary here in Austin, Texas, we had some elementary students that were concerned about the amount of waste going out through their school cafeteria. And as they began asking questions to the right people, the custodians, the principal, Austin ISD is lucky enough to have a sustainability manager asking them questions about where everything goes once it's dumped into a bin in the cafeteria, got those students thinking. And so they put some gloves on, they got dirty, they sorted through the trash during lunch times, and they kind of sorted out into three different piles. You know, what's landfill bound, what could be composted because it's organic, and then what could be recycled. And what they discovered is they're sending so much waste to the landfill that shouldn't actually go there. Right. And so they did a public service campaign. They also created a composting campaign and a recycling project on their campus that resulted in not only a reduction in the amount of material going to the landfill, which is environmentally sound, but also were able to count the number of times those dumpsters are dumped, got a dollar amount on it, and because they're sending less to the dumpster, had a direct dollar amount savings for the district because of this diversion program. And so the kids had a really great video. You can check out our Twitter feed from back in maybe June of this year and see probably the cutest video made by elementary kids you're ever going to watch about how they brought sustainability programs to their campus. Another example is at the middle school level, Lamar Middle School. The students were looking at all sorts of things on their campus. They were looking at water and energy and waste. And what the students discovered was there was a problem that nobody ever really noticed until they did an environmental audit. So at the end of school, you've probably seen this, Larry, parents will line up in their cars and they'll leave their cars idling in front of the school, you know, waiting to pick their kids up. And so the kids were like, you know, this has to have some sort of impact on air quality and perhaps asthma on campuses. You know, not to mention, you know, the amount of gas over the course of a day or a month or a year that's wasted just sitting there idling a car. And so Lamar Middle School kids created a campaign, and they created bumper stickers, something like "Turn your engine off so the earth doesn't cough." And they went around to each one of those cars and knocked on the window and gave flyers to the parents informing them of the environmental impact of sitting in their car, you know, in the idle zone. And so, you know, that's a really simple way to have a pretty important impact on air quality, you know, on a campus.
I apologize. I'm clearing my throat. Forgive me.
Yeah. So, you know, it may be an idling problem, Larry.
it might be that when they line up, I start to cough. I don't know what's going on. There's nobody lined up outside. That's what scares me. I just have this cloggy throat all of a sudden. Okay, it's just ridiculous. And all this is great stuff. When a school gets EcoRise or uses your curriculum, how are you guys involved? In other words, the ABC school buys the curriculum. Now what?
Yeah, we're as involved as the teacher and the administration wants us to be. And so there are some teachers that are absolute rock stars. They love environmental education. Maybe they teach AP environmental science. You know, they probably have some sort of degree in environmental science, and that's what they chose to teach. They can have access to our curriculum for as little as $40 for the entire K-12 suite. And that comes with no direct EcoRise support. That's for teachers who just, they get it, they want it, they know what to do with it, and they want to run. Others view our curriculum as kind of this next step of turning their already STEM-centric programs into kind of this authentic STEM program. And sometimes that doesn't feel necessarily the most comfortable. It's like being a first-year teacher all over again sometimes.
Right.
And so
right.
For those teachers, we offer a wide range of options for direct EcoRise support. So we do provide curriculum. That's something that we're really passionate about. But some of the other things that we provide as an organization are instructional training. So we do professional development, not only around the curriculum that we create, but also around best instructional practice. So things like design thinking and PBL, project-based learning. We also offer connections to teachers so that they can connect up with business professionals because sometimes teachers don't have an opportunity to do that on their own, but we find that it's really valuable for students to be able to interact with you know, green architects, you know, LEED certified architects and builders, you know, people who run and operate recycling facilities, you know, people who operate, you know, water treatment facilities and things like that. And so making some of those connections is how we really provide kind of that additional solid foundation with that training and curriculum. And then lastly, projects is really where students are going to have the biggest impact. And so being able to not only ask the right questions and look at the data, but being able to implement the actual project that they've come up with to make a difference. I've yet to be in a school where teachers have infinite amounts of money. And so this is where EcoRise is able
keep
to
looking
kind
for
of
that.
Fill
it's
that
like
gap.
It's like Diogenes looking for an honest man. Keep trying to find that.
Yeah, you're
with,
so right,
yeah,
man.
Right.
You know, I haven't found it yet. So
you
what
won't.
EcoRise does is we provide microgrants directly back to these student projects so that they can implement them and have the impact that they believe they're going to have. And I think that's really what differentiates us from a number of others within kind of this education space is we think the curriculum is important, but we think that what students are able to do once they learn sustainability concepts is even more important. And so that's where we put so many of our resources so that they can actually go out and just do it.
You know what's interesting, and I don't mean to get political here, but a lot of people – I just want to use this, quote, deny climate change. Yeah, that's a political thing, and I'm just going to leave it at that. But my question is, with that, you know, many, many people feel that way. I don't know why, but they do. All right? And my question is, in what you're trying to do, you know, climate change is part of the environment. That's what I'm driving at here. So in this climate that we have today, have you run into any challenges at all with teachers or schools or school boards saying, you know, we really don't want this because it's controversial? Of course it isn't, but I'm just curious if that's ever come up as you're trying to get these kids to be environmentally literate. Because they'll see it on a micro area, you know, the trash bins at their school, the dumpsters, that kind of thing. Has that ever come up at all?
You know, for us, it really hasn't come up at any
good
moment that I can think of. But that doesn't mean that sort of stuff doesn't exist. You know, we can turn on the TV and see how prevalent, you know, people, you know, have these statements that are anti-science. They have statements that
right.
are, you know, anti, you know, climate change. And so certainly there's an element of that there. When we work with schools, we really focus on what are some ways that students are going to be able to impact local community. Right? How are some ways that we're going to
they can actually see students? They can actually see that being environmentally smart, okay, pays off for them. They can see that you use
exactly
that from
right.
From the dumpsters. And I was just curious if that big overarching, those big overarching ideas, okay, that I think are not correct, okay, were affecting anything that you're doing. But when you bring it down to the local level and they can see that it actually happens, I can't believe anybody wouldn't just jump onto this like you can't believe. You know, it's just incredible.
And that impact piece, not only in, you know, resource savings or waste diversion or, you know, square footage of green space that's been reclaimed for outdoor classrooms, all of those things for us are equally as important as the number of students that have learned collaboration skills, have been able to take on a leadership role. So those 21st century skills that we hear so much about, you know, in schools, you know, how are we able to measure those things when we do? What does that impact look like? So when we work with districts and teachers, this really becomes kind of that multifaceted impact model. So here's what your students have accomplished over a year. Here's the amount of resource savings or diversion that's happened. And then here's the dollar amount in resource savings, like direct bottom line hard dollar savings that have been realized by school districts. And
isn't
so we compile all of that. Yeah, we compile all of that in a really compelling report every year. In fact, you can see our last 2 years of impact reports by going to ecorise.org/impact reports. And they're beautifully designed and give a really compelling story of the work that we do.
And it is a compelling story. I got to tell you, Rich, it's amazing. I want to get into the project-based learning with you for a second. And obviously what you're talking about is project-based learning. And people have been doing project-based learning. Didn't have a real name until more recently. But talk to me about the PBL side, because that's really of interest to a lot of educators, and rightly so. And I know you're doing projects, but just tell how you guys kind of implement, put it together, that sort of thing. You know, the essentials of the PBL that are included in your curriculum, and how do they fit alongside what you're talking about with the sustainability?
You're exactly right when you say that project-based learning, or this kind of idea of project-based learning, has been around for a long time. We see a lot of really great research coming out of places like the Buck Institute. We see some really nice implementations of PBL coming through, like the New Tech Network. And so this sort of instructional methodology is not new at all. And there's nothing really, you know, new or different that EcoRise, you know, adds to that conversation. For that instructional process, you're going to see, whether it's Buck or New Tech or EcoRise or anybody else that offers these sorts of services, you're going to see that it's really just an inquiry process, right? So at EcoRise, the way that we frame it up is really through five stages. We have the identify stage, the explore, create, refine, and share. And so what this is really meant to do, sounds a lot like an engineering process too, Larry. What this is really meant to do is get students to really begin identifying what these issues are, asking the right questions, and then begin exploring like all of the stakeholders and all of the data that surrounds these questions. We really want them to begin really testing those assumptions that they've come up with through their questioning and through the data that they've looked at. Like, does this make sense when you apply it kind of globally? And what can we do about it? Which then walks students into that next phase, that create phase, where they really begin thinking about creating ideas, you know, creating these processes that are going to help offer a solution to these data-driven problems that they've been able to come up with. We go through what others have called like a critical friends protocol, where this peer review process allows students to refine the issue, maybe think about different perspectives that they haven't thought about before. And then we have this share out opportunity. So that's kind of the tenet of PBL, right? Is being able to find an authentic audience and share this entire process with them and then get that additional feedback as well. And so that's the process that we use for this instructional training that we do with teachers. Now, what differs with EcoRise is the content. So we'll take some of our curriculum and we'll layer it into this instructional practice.
Yeah.
So we begin collecting data around something like air quality or energy use and get the kids to begin asking questions. Like, what does energy use look like at my house? What does energy usage look like on our campus? How can I make some changes locally to impact that particular issue? And more importantly, what does the data look like around this issue? So they begin asking questions of people like their building custodian, their principal, their sustainability
right.
manager, their facilities person. Like, what's the energy footprint of our campus here?
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
what's driving those particular costs and energy use components? So they'll begin exploring things in the physical building. Are we leaving lights on when they shouldn't be on? Do we
right.
have old school lights in here that are using more energy than they should?
Right.
A lot of times it's an HVAC issue, like are windows sealed appropriately? So kids start looking at these sorts of things and then finding something they can do within the constraints of a school year. So can the solution they come up with be solved in a school year? Can it be solved for $500 or less? What about this are we able to do in a reasonable amount of time? And then they begin
wow.
actually prototyping that solution. And so when you look at what that project's going to entail, there's a lot of measurement. So there's a lot of connections with your math classes. There's real science involved around the way energy is created and used. And we begin talking about things like solar energy and wind and coal and nuclear, and allowing kids the opportunity to ask questions, to learn more about those things in the industries, and really kind of come up with their own assumptions. And so there's all sorts of these connections throughout the entire taught curriculum for students to really explore. And so that's what makes us different. Then when you really get to that refine and share out period, that's where our student innovation grants kick in. You know, you talked about this project, about the impact it could have. Build it. Let's see it. Let's see if it does what you think it's going to do. And most of the time, at the end of the day, it does. And so the kids are able to show measurable impact that they've kind of gotten through this entire process. It's an amazing experience. It's project-based learning on steroids, and it really gives the power to students to design real-world projects with impact.
Yeah, I mean, project-based learning on steroids is just incredible. I'm so glad the work, but, you know, the things you're doing have impact. I mean, we can teach the kids a lot of things, but what you're doing has impact, you know, right where they can see it and where it matters. It's, again, echorise.org. I have one last question. It's important to note that not only project-based learning, but all of this is STEM. It's STEM activities. And I might add, it's beyond that. It goes into the arts as well. It's more like STEAM, where you have to write these things up and understand them and all that and logically think them through and understand how they impact society, as in social studies. So just talk about the STEM side of it, if you will, Rich. Okay? And just, I mean, you agree with what I'm saying, basically. I want people to understand this. This is really PBL STEM.
It really is. In one of my past careers, I was a director of career and technical education. So, Larry, when you and I were in school, we called that vocational, right? And so a lot of the focus around these career and technical education programs is that STEM component. This is that buzzword that came out in the early to mid-2000s, remember? And everybody wanted to jump on the STEM bandwagon.
Yeah.
So STEM, very simple, science, technology, you know, engineering, and math. And, you know, when you think about, like, those particular components, when it's broken down into, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math, everything that we do within a project-based learning EcoRise program are incorporating those very specific concepts. I would say that we are actually a little bit different than STEM. I would almost put an A in front of it, like A STEM.
Yeah, the STEAM.
What
STEAM.
I mean by that is authentic STEM, right?
Wow.
When I think about some of...
When we talk about STEM, we have to make it real. We have to make it real. Yeah.
That's
what this does. It makes it real.
And when
it has impact where you are.
When I was a CT director, this was one of the most frustrating things that I saw. There are a number of STEM providers that walk kids through the science and technology and engineering and math process, but they're building things like a better mousetrap or a marble sorter or other things that are, you know, very much laboratory-based. And does it teach the skills? Of course it does. Like, does it help kids, you know, really understand processes? Sure, it does that. But how authentic is it to actually build those things within a classroom? I would say that people who are truly interested in teaching STEM concepts should do everything they can to make those STEM processes authentic. And what I mean by that is have the kids solve a problem in their local communities that can be accomplished and measured this school year. That's what I mean by authentic STEM. And every single day, that's what we see EcoRise teachers doing in their classroom.
Rich, you're doing good work. You're doing good work, my friend. Okay, it's got to make you feel good. It makes me feel good. We have to get these points across, and we have to make them engaging, and they have to be where a kid can see a future career and by seeing the impact today. I love what EcoRise is doing, Rich. I really do.
I appreciate that, Larry.
I do. Okay, it's good stuff. Thank you for being with us today, my friend. EcoRise.org, best place to go, right? Right, EcoRise.org?
Yes, sir.
Okay, my friend.
Check us out at Twitter.
If you call me sir, I'm going to have to call you Sir Richard back. If you call me sir, I'm going to have to call you Sir Richard back, the Lionhearted.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
All right. It's good stuff, and you're doing good work. I thank you, Rich. It's great. Tell Gina I said hello. Will you do me that favor?
I certainly will. Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, and you guys, next time you come on, bring one of your educators with you. I'd love to have you guys do
you
that.
You got it. That sounds like a great idea.
It sounds great to me, too, RK the Echo Nerd. I appreciate it. That's your Twitter.
All right.
Echo Nerd being a compliment. Okay, keep it up.
Thank you.
Okay? Thanks, Rich.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good job, by the way. Thank you. Okay, that's Rich Kincaid, a.k.a. his Twitter, RK the Echo Nerd. I love that. Promoting project-based environmental learning. It's EchoRise.org, and they are a good organization, and they will get you good sustainability, environmental, PBL learning accomplished. End of discussion. Check it out. Believe me, check it out. It's worthwhile. Save your school some money. I love it. We're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. I'm Larry Jacobs, pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening.